So if we can make it safe and appealing for kids to ride bikes to school and walk, lots of good things will happen. And that's pretty much true with everything we do. When people ride bikes, great things happen.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Tim Blumenthal. He's the head honcho at Bikes Belong, a nonprofit organization working on issues from safe routes to school to, well, there's quite a bit that Tim focuses on. So we'll let him describe that in just a few minutes. And you're listening to CDM Cyclist, and I'm your host, Frank Peters. And if you came to this podcast today via Corona Del Mar today, well, welcome. Thanks for joining me. I recently met Tim on spring break. I went to Boulder, Colorado. I had friends in Boulder, but when they told me that Bikes Belong was headquartered there, yeah, I didn't know that. That kind of cinched the deal, and I set about getting on Tim's calendar, and it wasn't that hard. His phone number or his email is right on his website, so it took one phone call. He picked up the phone, and I had an appointment with him. And off we go to Boulder. My son says he wants to go to college at Boulder. He's still got a few years to finalize that decision, but oh boy, I was eager to go because Boulder's recognized as platinum. It's a ranking system, all part of bike-friendly communities by the League of American Bicyclists. And Tim will tell you how he's involved with that, too. Well, before we get started, let's say thank you to my sponsor. That would be BikeTiresDirect.com. Of course, bike tires and gear and apparel and everything you need to equip your bike safely. So check them out, please. BikeTiresDirect.com. So when I get to Boulder, first thing I do really is, I didn't realize it, but in retrospect now, it was bicycle tourism. Me and the family, we went out and rented bikes. You know, gorgeous weather, beautiful city, and fantastic off-road bike paths that crisscross the city in virtually every direction. I'd heard about it, wanted to experience it firsthand. And then my friend who I mentioned, Howard, he took me out, me and my son, for a 23-mile bike ride one morning. So then later in the day when I've got my appointment with Tim, I look it up on my map and see that he's just a mile away. And at home, a mile is the kind of distance I would often walk. Well, but those of you who know Colorado, on a bright, sunshiny day, it's a lot different than a bright, sunny day in Corona Del Mar. And I dragged myself a mile to Tim's office with all my recording gear and a new lightweight but down coat that was way too much for that time of day, but I knew temperature drops like a rock in Boulder. So kind of straggle my way into Tim's office. But it was all worth it. We sit down and, well, let's get right to it. Hi, Tim. So I attended the National Bike Summit in Washington, D.C. It was my first time. I noticed that you were a platinum sponsor. Did I get that right?
Bikes Belong has been the platinum sponsor of the National Bike Summit for all 10 years. And this is a super important event. It's a political event. It's a unifying event. And we have really been excited to see it grow and thrive.
So how did Bikes Belong? It sounds like an advocacy group. How'd you get to become, to have the resources to be such a large sponsor?
Well, back in the late 90s, the leaders of the bike industry basically decided they had two choices, either to fight over individual pieces of a certain size pie or to try to grow the pie. And they decided, let's grow the pie. So they all came together and they said, let's try to get more people on bikes more often. And the first target that we're going to have is the federal investment. We're going to try to increase that investment because we know that if we can make bicycling safer and give people more convenient, appealing options, places to ride bikes, the activity will grow. And that's proven to be very successful. We've grown from essentially nothing to an annual budget of more than $5 million. and we now have a foundation that's thriving. And so we've diversified our sources of revenue, and we have, you know, more than a dozen employees here and an equal number in the field. And we're just getting started.
I like the sense of that, just getting started. And I notice on your website, you fund grants. How do people make application? What kinds of things are grant worthy these days?
Sure. Well, there are a lot of things that are grant worthy, but we really focus our grants program on supporting places to ride. And of course, we don't have the money to pay the whole bill, but we can contribute. And we've awarded close to $2 million in the last few years, and it's usually in $5,000 and $10,000 chunks. There's a place to apply. It's just really one of the five headings on our website is grants, and then it has very clear instructions on how to get started.
And then Safe Routes to School. You gave me a little tour. You mentioned Safe Routes to School. That's a popular subject. How'd you get involved with that?
Well, Safe Routes to School is just a great idea because 40 years ago, half of U.S. children either rode bikes or walked to school. And now it's like 10%. And during the same period, child obesity has tripled. And in the morning, and a lot of—
Do you think there's a correlation?
I do. I do think there's a correlation. I mean, it's not the only factor. I also know that 20% of morning traffic is one parent driving one or two kids to school, you know, and often less than a mile. So if we can make it safe and appealing for kids to ride bikes to school and walk, lots of good things will happen. And that's pretty much true with everything we do. When people ride bikes, great things happen.
It's pretty simple, isn't it? Very well said. And so what's coming up next for Bikes Belong? Other events you're sponsoring?
Well, yes. Tomorrow we're going to a major event called the Bicycle Leadership Conference, and it's the biggest national gathering of the industry, and it's really focused on the future. And in the old days, they talked mainly about bike sales and how to sell more bikes. Now they talk more about making the experience better and safer. So that's a big event. And then really the event of this year, most important thing probably is to preserve federal funding. And it's a tough fiscal environment. So we're not looking for a handout. We're just very, very much of a cost-effective investment. When the federal government spends money on bike paths and bike lanes, not only do we move people, but we address all these other things, and we do it for very, very few dollars.
Argument, of course, we bike advocates know very well, but what is it about bike infrastructure that makes it so economical?
Well, it's a variety of things. I mean, you can move a relatively large number of people in a relatively small amount of space and make that space safe and appealing for very few dollars. About 1.5% of the federal investment in transportation is devoted to bicycling and walking, but 12 or 13% of all trips that Americans make are made on foot or by bike. So 1.5% of the funding, 12% of the trips, it's a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, sounds like you could use more money though too, huh?
Yes, but I think we're pretty much resolved, given the way that federal transportation funds come, which is through the gas tax, that at least in the next year or two, there's not going to be a lot more money. And even though we know that the federal government will save money overall in other areas like healthcare costs and dependence of foreign oil and congestion, all these different air quality, by investing more in bicycling, I think we're realistic. We know we need to do more with less.
But still, that's an argument that, progress is slow at times, Tim, making that, convincing people.
Well, yes. I've been involved with bike advocacy for nearly 30 years, and I would say, yes, it is slow, but I'd also say that right now is the most optimistic, encouraging, promising, wonderful time to be involved and to be a proponent of bicycling. So even though day by day things don't change that much, overall I'd say things are changing a lot.
In my own locale, I often think it's a game of inches, like they say, of football, and you're persuading people, having an influence. You have to be patient, don't you? This is a game of patience.
It's a game of patience. It's also a game of clear and concise messaging. And I think that bike advocates historically have been long on passion, but have had trouble sort of distilling the arguments and making them very quickly and efficiently. And we're getting better at that.
That was the emphasis of the conference in Washington, wasn't it? It was going up to Capitol Hill at the end of the week. So that was very federal oriented. How about at the local level? Like, what advice might you have for me as I deal with my community and my friends with the towns next door? What have you found that's effective?
Well, I would say actually local advocacy is probably more effective and more important than federal advocacy. And I would also say that business and economic benefits, particularly right now, employment, these all carry weight. The emphasis of the connection between bicycling and tourism and people who come to your town to ride bikes near the beach or whatever, they will spend money to eat. They might, if they like it enough, stay overnight. They might buy something for their bike equipment. They might, get some t-shirts. Who knows? So the economic side really carries, but, the whole process of becoming bike friendly, there are a lot more blueprints now, and they're very well spelled and described and easy to understand. And that's why basically every mayor of every city in the United States gets it now and understands the potential of supporting bicycling.
In an ideal environment, it almost becomes competitive where one mayor, one city manager will see a nearby city gaining these advantages, want to catch up.
So one of the programs that we invest in is called Bicycle Friendly America. And the core component, the program is called Bicycle Friendly Communities. And they award honorable mention, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And when a city wins the gold and a mayor meets another mayor and says, what's going on? Well, we just got the gold Bicycle Friendly Community Award. And they go, what? And that inspires. Yeah. So the competition and the recognition, these are motivating factors. But the real factor, I think, is the quality of life and the cost savings that come with becoming bike friendly.
Yeah, back to Washington, D.C. and the National Bike Summit. The last session of the conference, I think, for me anyway, was the bicycle tourism. And I walked into the room and what an environment. It had a great buzz. People were excited. Bike tourism is up. Talk about economic development. You observe that too, Tim?
Totally. And I've seen it from all sides. I've seen it from the mountain bike side. I've seen it from the rail trail side. I've seen it in cities. I've seen it in Washington, D.C. with Bike the Sites, where you literally ride bikes around all the monuments. I've seen it in San Francisco, where people take the ride over the Golden Gate Bridge to Sausalito and then take the ferry back. So bike tourism takes many different forms, and it's what a great way to see any place, whether you live there or whether you're visiting.
Well, that's what I'm doing. This is my first trip to Boulder. I found out I have a friend I've known for 25 years. He moved here. Of course, I've gotten the full Chamber of Commerce pitch on Boulder. It took me at a great big loop. I'm sure we did 25 miles around the city today. How about for Bikes Beyond? Is it an accident or coincidence that you're here in Boulder?
No, it absolutely is not. Boulder is one of the three platinum bike-friendly communities in the United States. We have about 105,000 year-round residents here. We have more than 10% of all trips are made by bike, and that's the highest of any place in the United States. And why is that so? It's primarily because the city a long time ago recognized the efficiency of building a complete bicycle path and bike lane and bike boulevard, multi-use path, dirt trail network that would give people easy options to driving alone. And I think the key number to remember is that 50% of all trips that Americans make are 3 miles or shorter. So there's a lot of potential to ride a bike. And I think that most of us are just in the habit of automatically reaching for the keys wherever we're going. And we don't need to replace all car trips. It's not viable. It's not practical. And, we can just change some of the trips, a few of the trips to bike trips. All kinds of good things will follow.
You know, in my community, I blog. I hear from the motoring public. They're often frustrated at the idea of sharing the road. But I tell them that they should, even if they're going to continue to be motorists, they should encourage cycling because it gets more of us off the road, more room for them.
Yes. Secretary LaHood, who is the Secretary of Transportation from Peoria, Illinois, he says it best. even people who will never ride a bike and will always drive should be in favor of funding for bicycling, because it means one less car. It means less crowded roadways. It means less wear and tear on the roadways. And the people who are riding bikes are taking care of themselves, and so the others may not have to foot the bill at the end of the day.
Easier to park your car at your destination too, and there's more bicyclists. How about you, Tim? What's your background? How did you get here at Bikes Belong?
Well, I was a journalist by trade, and 31 years ago, I became the editor of the one and only national bike racing publication called Velo News, and then all kinds of great things started happening for bike racing, and then I got recruited by Bicycling Magazine, which is the largest bike magazine in the world, and became an editor there, and I hooked up with ABC and NBC, and I've done the last 7 Olympics as a commentator, writer, advisor for all their bike racing coverage, and I became a top editor at Rodale Press. And then at Rodale Press, we published both Bicycling Magazine and a magazine called Backpacker and Runner's World. And one of the leaders of the company said, you know, we have a hiking magazine and we have a bicycling magazine, and I hear there's lots of tension between bike riders on trails and hikers. Can you do something about that? And that led, I got involved with an organization called the International Mountain Bike Association, and I became the first employee. Ultimately, left Rodale Press, moved it here to Boulder, Colorado. That was 1994, so 17 years ago. And then that organization grew into a multi-million-dollar organization. And then the leaders of the bike industry came to me and they said, look, you've done very well with IMBA. How would you like to take on the whole thing? You know, everything from kids riding bikes to road bikes to commuting to mountain biking to beach cruisers. Help us figure out a way to make bicycling safer and better for everyone. Would you be willing to do that? And I said, sure. And they let me stay here, which is a privilege that I, you know, count my blessings every day. And IMBA, the International Mountain Bike Association, is right there across the courtyard here in our office complex. So we're very close. And it's a dream. It really is a dream.
Must be a lot of satisfaction that comes with this role, Tim, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, the list of things, good things that happen when people ride bikes is a really long list. The list of bad things is a very short list. So, it's a privilege to come to work every day. It's a privilege to be involved with something that provides so many different types of benefits and makes people happy because it's fun. So, as we like to say, it's not exactly hazardous duty.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, we're back in the studio, and once again, may I say thank you to BikeTiresDirect.com. Check them out, please. Well, hey, a little bit of news. It's coming up really fast. Organizing. I'm calling this my 4th bike ride, and I'm starting to count because 4 seems like a number. This Sunday, May 15th at 8 a.m. at the Oasis Senior Center in Corona del Mar, you know, right in my hometown, organizing a bike safety ride, we call it, family fun, suitable for all ages. It's something I've coordinated with the Bike Safety Committee. Mayor Pro Tem Nancy Gardner has helped me coordinate this. And, of course, City Manager Dave Kiff gave me the nudge and had me work through some of the challenges that I originally faced on this and keep on going. So thanks for that, Dave. And they'll both be there. It's Sunday, 8 a.m. at the Oasis Senior Center. Bring mom, bring dad. Pump up those tires before you get there. For details, go to bikenewportbeach.org. It's a new website we set up just for the ride. It's non-commercial, of course. bikenewportbeach.org. Check it out. And while you're clicking around different URLs, of course, this is cdmcyclist.com. Come by the website. Leave me your thoughts on this interview with Tim. I'd like to hear from you, and so would Tim. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.